Welcome back to another episode of Parenting in Progress. I'm Corey.
I'm Jordan.
And we're the Welches. Welcome back to another episode of Parenting in Progress, episode 8. Today's subject is going to be the best products that we could possibly afford for newborns. So let's give some background real quick. A lot of these newborn products we ended up getting through a couple of baby showers that our families put on. And we didn't purchase every one of these. But every one of these that we have, we used a lot, and we truly believe in these products. So just wanted to throw that disclaimer out there that we haven't bought in all these, but we did get them gifted to us, and they were on a registry and stuff like that. So
yeah, and the ones that we didn't necessarily buy, like with some of the baby shower money, we did purchase some of them because obviously you didn't get everything you needed at the baby shower. So
first one on the list, Frida Nail Buffer. Now, give a little background on this. Baby Welch was coming along, and I was watching some YouTube videos. I can't remember the guy's name who talked about it. Wish I could give him some credit, but I don't remember who it exactly was. I was watching two or three guys, and it was just like five top products that weren't super expensive, weren't just off the charts of doing jobs, but just solid products. And one of these was the Frida Nail Buffer. It was an electric nail file. So it has a set of different grits of heads that you can replace on it. And basically, the older the kid gets, the more aggressive that the nail file portion of it would be. This is an awesome product. And we weren't really thinking it was going to be super great because, you know, you can get the nail clippers out, stuff like that. But, you know, their fingers are so small that a lot of times you can either cut them or you get them cut down too far. And then you kind of got a bloody mess and a screaming kid. And so we got this one and it is so slick. You just pop the end of it. You know, it's got a newborn end. You pop that on top of there. You turn the button. It'll rotate one way, or you can press a button. It'll rotate the other way. And basically, you're just going to sit there and you're going to file their nails down. It does have a light, but, you know, those little tiny thin fingernails, especially, you know, the younger she was, it was just so nice because, yeah, you could kind of, it doesn't even necessarily file the skin.
No.
And so you could get them down to where you really wanted them so they weren't that sharp, or, you know, hers kept wanting to bend back really early on. And so we use that a lot. Still, we just now switched to clippers because, well, she ended up getting a hold of it and kind of ruined the last pad. And so it doesn't work as good anymore. But we used that up until she was almost not quite a year and a half, probably. That's how long we used that thing.
I love it. I don't have the fear of I'm going to cut too close. She's going to be in pain. It was just nice and easy. And I would usually do it while she's fall asleep on my arms at a nap time or anything like that. It was simple and it was easy to use. And it got the job done without the fear of hurting them.
Yeah, it worked really slick. The trick to it is, depending on which way you have that spinning head rotating, you just got to watch, because if you're going the wrong direction on the nail versus the way that the head's spinning, it can pop the finger up, like it can catch. You always want that front side of whichever direction you're going across that fingernail, you want that front side going down, not up. And sometimes you'll get the hang of it and you'll know what I'm talking about when that happens, because you're going to go, oh no. Yeah, it will freak you out just a little bit, but it never did startle him. It was one of the things that I never would have dreamt that we just absolutely needed. It was just kind of a, hey, this guy thought it was it. Let's throw it on there, see if somebody bought it. Somebody did, and here we are now. And next kid, I'm sure we'll get another one.
Yeah, they make replacement sets, so we don't have to get a completely new set with the buffer itself. It just comes with new pads. So we'll have to get that since our daughter ruined the last one.
Yeah, and I think it was roughly around $30, something like that.
Yeah, the whole thing, and then the replacement set's about 10.
Yep. So next on the list, it's kind of a hot topic, and we've got quite a backstory on this one. It's pacifiers. Everybody's got their own opinion. I would just, to give our background on this, you don't know what pacifier is good, what pacifier your kid's going to like, that sort of stuff. But just to give some backgrounds on what we did, we did get a couple of Philips and a Nano Baby, or BB, Nano BB. The Nano BB was really good just because it was really small and compact. It wasn't like massive showing around the lips. It was a lot less heavy. We did like that, but that was just a newborn. When did we switch that out?
I think when we found the other ones. It was still in the rotation. She just took to the other ones better, so we just kind of dropped it.
Okay. I was thinking we got rid of that one and then got into the Philips. But we also had a couple Philips. I don't know the model, but they're kind of dark blue, and they stuck out around her lips a lot, and they're really heavy.
They're like the classic, you just had a baby pacifier. I have seen these on countless newborn pictures of friends and family, and that's why I was like, oh, let's add some of those to our registry. You know, I see everybody has those. And yeah, they are huge. And if your baby takes it, that's great. But our baby didn't have such great luck.
Yeah, she kept losing it a lot, especially, you know, at night when she's trying to sleep, she'd lose it and then she'd start crying. And pretty soon you're waking up two or three times a night just because of a pacifier. I remember you would just reach over and not even wake up. You just reach over and grab it and find her little face and put it in there and she'd go back to sleep. The one thing I would say that is kind of nice with those Philips once in a while, especially on the newborns, is you can get a little stuffed animal with them or something like that. So they're not as hard to lose, or like that Nano BB. It's tough because it's a small little.
And it's clear because you can see through it. So it was trickier to keep track of.
Yeah. So that's where we started at. And then we started having issues with those Philips. And we were just like, there's got to be. It was just too heavy, I think. I just don't think she sucked hard enough to really keep it in all the time.
And I just remember, like you said, she's laying in her bassinet and you could hear that sound of it, her losing it. And then she'd cry and you'd put it back in and she'd suck on it for a little bit and then she'd lose it. And it was just a constant battle. It's like, we've got to find something that works better for her because we're getting less sleep just trying to get the correct pacifier. So I think I did a little research, not a ton, and I've seen things on the MAM, it's like capital M-A-M, pacifiers. And I didn't know that they make bottles too. I said, you know what? We got to try it. And I feel like pacifiers is one of those things that you just got to spend the money to get a variety. Not like you need to have a ton of variety before your baby even gets here, but knowing that I'm buying something and my baby might like it and my baby might not like it. And thank goodness these are the ones she still has today. And now we're trying to get off the pacifier. But the MAM ones, they had a newborn one, which they were colored. So it was easier to keep track of. They were just smaller and petite. They fit her mouth good. She really liked them. And then when she grew out of the newborn ones, we got the next size up. And the thing that I liked about that, and maybe other pacifier brands come with it too, but it comes with a little sterilizing case. It was super easy to clean them. You just fill a little water in them. You can do two at a time, put it in the microwave for 3 minutes. They're very hot when they come out, but it was easy to keep them sterilized and she did really well with them.
Yeah, she still uses them today and she doesn't call them passies yet, but she is always concerned about it. But yeah, once we got to those MAMs, that night waking up of losing that pacifier pretty much stopped that next night. So that one was our favorite. If we had to redo it all, we might have a hand of a Nano BB one just as to help with a newborn rotation of pacifiers. But I think it's safe to say we're a MAM family now.
We are. I remember seeing them on sale again. It's like, you can't have too many pacifiers. We are getting a couple. So I don't know how many times we've asked ourselves, have you seen the pacifier? Where's the pacifier? Where's the specifier? So having more than two, I would say at least.
Yeah, and think about, you know, when you if you're sending your baby to daycare, stuff like that, you know, it's not bad. They can get lost daycare, those types of things as well. So yeah, it's always good to have, you know, two, three easily somewhere in there. So I'm going to turn this one over to Jordan because kind of her passion is jammies. She has lots of sets of her own jammies, and this is kind of her little mojo. So I'm going to let her take this one over.
I feel bad looking back at Carly's pictures now because I'm pretty sure all she lived in for the first 5-6 weeks was jammies. And they're just easy. Like, they have, make sure you get the double zipper one. We had a couple that had just a single zipper. But that double zipper makes diaper changes easy because it can, you can zip it down from the top or you can zip it up from the bottom. And we had a couple with the snaps, and those weren't as nice. I'm not saying that they didn't get the job done. They did. It was just a little bit less convenient for diaper changes. But the double zipper jammies are nice. We had lots of them, easy to change. And I was gifted a pair of little sleepies pajamas. And at first I was like, oh my gosh, these things are so expensive. Like, I'm so glad someone gifted them to me, but I can't afford that. They are game changer pajamas. And I do feel like we got an extra benefit with Carly being small because they are bamboo. They're super soft and they grow with you. Like, you can get a super long wear. Like, right now, and I will say that Carly's probably under the 10th percentile for growth, but she can fit into 0 to 3. She can fit into 3 to 6, and she can fit into 6 to 12, and she's almost 18 months. So all of those that we spent the money on, and they do have sales. I did get sales. They're worth the money because you get so much life out of them. And I don't know if Carly's anything like me, but I love comfy clothes, soft clothes, and who wouldn't want to be in a soft pajama? Not to say the other pajamas aren't, but it's just something, if you can afford it or you just want to add one into your registry to try it out, do it. I feel like for us, it's been worth the money that we've spent because they just last so long. If you had a big chunky baby, I would hesitate a little bit more, not to say that they can't wear them, but you're not going to get the life out of them like we are able to do.
Yeah, for sure. It's actually pretty neat how her first little sleepies, she's just now starting to grow out of those. I will say that, and I agree with that. You know, we have friends that have kids and they grow really fast, probably not near as worth your money. So maybe don't, you know, we have a lot of little sleepy jammies. You probably wouldn't have as much as us just because of that. Hands down, that we use them all the time, and I was a little skeptical. Dads, it seemed like it was pretty expensive for just a pair of jammies, but the way it's worked out for us, it's been a good investment. Especially, you know, if you're planning on having more than one kid, you can reuse them too. So always be thinking of that as well. You can reuse a lot of these products we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, absolutely.
So with talking about jammies, especially newborn stage, we're going to get into swaddles now.
Oh, good old swaddling. I remember those days. Carly, she liked being swaddled, but she didn't like being swaddled. She liked, like, I think the pressure, the tightness of swaddled, but she didn't like her arms in. It was kind of some trial and error of getting her arms down in there to get her swaddle on. But she would wake up every time with one arm out, both arm out. She was like a Houdini and could get out of any swaddle. And maybe we just weren't doing it right, you know, new parents trying to figure this out. But the brand of swaddle that we had was Swaddle Me, I believe. I think Target and Amazon has them. And one thing I didn't realize when I put some on my registry is that they make ones with zippers on the bottom. And now that I know that, I want to like trash the other ones because those middle of the night diaper changes, if you don't have the one with the zipper on the bottom, you have to completely unswaddle them with the loud Velcro, get their arms out, unzip it, then move through the pajamas and change the diaper, and then swaddle them all back up. And I wear contacts, and the glasses aren't quite as strong as my contacts, but when you're trying to do that in the middle of the night and it's dark, it's hard to make sure that it's how it should be. So the ones with the zipper on the bottom help a lot because you could just unzip the bottom, roll the swaddle up, then get to the pajamas, and you don't have to unswaddle their arms. That was a huge game changer. So if you are looking for a swaddle, the Swaddle Me was good for those newborn stages with the zipper on the bottom. We did end up getting a different one when she kind of was starting to roll and transitioning out of not wanting her arms swaddled. We got a different one where you could either swaddle them or you could not, like, swaddle their arms or leave their arms out. She didn't use that one very long before we just went to a sleep sack because she didn't like the arms out, and the sleep sack kept her warm, but her arms were free.
So along with that, one thing we didn't know going into it, you know, being first time parents, is we had Carly in February, so it was chilly. So the house is cooler. Now we did keep it roughly at 70, 72 degrees, but the one thing we didn't realize is there was some times where she would get cold on some of those nights. And that is one thing you do kind of want to watch. If you kind of got a colder house or a colder room that you're going to put them in, make sure it's heavy enough.
But not too hot.
Yes, but not too hot. But I would go a little bit on the warmer side than the colder side. Just seemed like whenever she got cold, she woke up.
Yeah. And when we transitioned to that, just a plain sleep sack. It was about summer, so it was a lighter weight. I think it was a 0.5 TOG sleep sack. And, you know, we're new parents. We don't know any different. So as it gets to be October, November, we're still putting her in the same sleep sack because that's just what she does. And she started waking up about 4 o'clock in the morning. And I think one time she did pee through her pajamas. And once we did some research, we're like, ah, she's cold. And then you feel bad, but again, you don't know, and there's always room for growing. And I would rather her be too cold than too hot. We got a higher TOG, I think a 1.0. And that one they say is like seasonless. So it's summer right now and she's still sleeping in that with her little sleepies right now. I think when we can control our room and our house temperature, we can make sure that it's kind of in that zone for the TOG. Now, if you live in a place that you have it colder, you have it hotter, then you need to just adapt to what your thermostat, what you keep it at. But I remember adding sleep sacks to the registry and I had no idea. I was like, oh, okay, this one's fleece, add it. This one's 2.0, add it. Like, it's something that you don't know. And so just look into that before you add them blindly to your registry.
Yeah, so the next item up is a diaper bag. And if I remember right, you did all the research kind of on the diaper bag. I kind of left that one up to you.
Yeah, it's not like I was really looking for the best of the best. I was just kind of looking style-wise that something that I would wear and you as well. I know that you would look at ones that I liked and you're like, oh, that's too girly. I'm like, well, if I need them carrying the diaper bag, I want to make sure it's something that you would be caught wearing. It's a big bag.
It is very big. Fast forward, we have a smaller one now that we have Carly, to not fit as much stuff in. But you know, when you have a newborn, you are gonna bring a lot of stuff. You're gonna over prepare, and that's actually, in my book, that's a good thing, because there's always going to be something in there that you need and you don't have, and then you're kind of up a creek. That bag will get lighter the further you go. We ended up getting a different bag. We still use that bag when we travel. We still use it for stuff to put Carly's clothes in and different diapers and stuff like that. So we still use it. You can get a little more, I guess, hoarding. You know, you're going to be a pack mule.
And that's how I am, because I want to make sure that I have everything I might possibly need. And when there's so much storage and there's so many little zippers and pockets everywhere, you just want to be like, oh, I can fit this in here and I can put this there. And as an early new mom, you want to make sure that you have everything that you might need when you're going out somewhere. And I was very happy. I think she was about 8 months or so when I got a different bag for my birthday that kind of does a dual purse and diaper bag combo. She was at that age where you don't need quite as many diapers. You don't need quite as many clothes because the blowouts are down. And Now my problem is making sure I have room for snacks and toys in the bag.
Yeah, and you brought up a good point there. You know, when you're running a newborn around, we didn't drag your purse around. You moved all that stuff in there. So you do have to, you know, as you're kind of looking at the size of those bags, and sometimes they're hard to judge. You just get one, and if it's way too big or way too small, you can return it. We returned a lot of stuff from our showers along with all these great products that we're talking about. We returned a lot of other things that either you get doubled up on or you start figuring out, oh, this is not really going to work the way we want it to, or we're heading a different direction. You don't be afraid to return those either. But one of the bigger decisions that we kind of were up in the air on, especially in the newborn stage, is obviously they're going to be probably more than likely sleeping in your room. Now, some don't and some do. It doesn't matter which. Ours did. We were planning on Carly sleeping in our room for a while. So we don't have a huge room. Our room is probably on the smaller side from just our bedroom. And so we have to really look at space. So I remember we ended up getting the tape measure out and we were looking at specs online and we were seeing where can we fit this? Because you want it right beside the bed as close as you can get it, because then you don't have to get out of bed to change your diaper or put her passy in, stuff like that. So you want it up close to the bed, but we're trying to maximize the best value, right? We're trying to maximize our dollar there. And what we're struggling with is, do you just get a bassinet? Because bassinets, they're not cheap, but they're also not small. I mean, the bassinet itself that the newborn sleeps in is small, but the base is big. And it's usually shaped in a way to where you can bring that thing right up next to the bed. So a lot of that frame is going to be sticking underneath of your bed. But when you're not using that, and let's say you slide it away from the bed, that whole base took up a lot of our little walkway that goes in and out of our room. And so what we were contemplating is, well, you know, it's just a bassinet. So they're going to sleep in there till X amount of months, or they grow X amount of inches. And then they're done with it, right? Then you're onto a crib or you're onto something different, or sometimes some people transition to a pack and play. And so that's where, like, man, can we get by with a pack and play? And so we did start looking, and they do make domes for pack and play, which is basically a little bassinet. So we started doing the measurements on it. Between the bassinets that we were looking at and the pack and play that we were looking at, they were virtually the same measurements. They were.
Yeah, I was thinking that one of the pros of getting a bassinet would be saving space. But when we looked into the bassinet sizing versus the pack and play, it's like, well, they're about the same. So do we buy the bassinet? And then we still need a pack and play for when we travel or anything like that. Then it feels like we're just buying something extra. So we kind of made the decision to, like, after research, we did lots of research to see, like, let's try it out. I think that we can get away without having an actual bassinet. And then we have the pack and play that we can use later on too. And her pack and play, it not only did it have the little base, I guess you would call it, you know, how it, you can have that insert and you put the base on it. So it's a raised bassinet. It's not clear to the floor. So not only did it have that part of the bassinet, but it had the dome that you had mentioned earlier, and that dome is pretty handy. It's small.
Yeah, it is. And we used it for things that we didn't think we'd use. You know, there'd be times where it was summertime, obviously, and you get tired of getting cooped up in the house. You just want to go outside, sit outside, listen to nature a little bit. You would throw her in the bassinet, or in the dome, excuse me. You'd throw her in the dome and you go outside, and it had a little cover for sun and stuff like that, to where we used it all the time. Or sometimes there was only two latches on each side. We would even put it on the floor in the living room and she could take a nap there instead of in our bedroom. It was very versatile. It was.
I remember getting home from work. And like you said, it was a nice day. So I just, it clips on. You unclip it. And we went outside for a little bit. I sat out on the porch. And you get to that stage where you're like, I don't really want to lay him on the concrete. Or just put a blanket on the concrete when there's bugs and stuff like that. but she's not big enough for the little sit me up seat. And I don't want to put her in her car seat out here, and I can't hold her. So the dome was a perfect option for us to where we didn't need to hold her, but she could be where we are. I mean, I remember going and tilling the garden with you, and she was in the dome out in the grass. And I remember taking it to a baby shower that was outside. Just, she also got to that point where she was tired of being held. She didn't want to be held all the time. It's like, enough, put me down. And when you don't have a safe space to put her down, that dome was perfect. And it unfolded really easily and stored up. It's downstairs ready for another kid.
Yeah, it's something we're still using. I mean, we used it when we go out to see your brother. We use it a lot, especially with little kids. So even her, granted, she's a little smaller, but she still sleeps in it when we have to travel at the same time.
She slept in that dome for about 3 months until she kind of outgrew that. Then she moved straight to the bigger bassinet part. But we still did use the dome, even though she wasn't sleeping in it at night, because then she could sit up in it too.
And so probably a couple, we got a couple small ones here that we're going to finish up with. We're going to have to probably make this a two-part series, but there's a couple things I do want to talk about that probably isn't going to take a whole lot of our time. The next one being is a bottle drying rack. It may be something simple where you're like, well, do you really need a bottle drying rack? Do you not? Once again, to give you background, where we're coming from is our kitchen is a small kitchen. We do not have a lot of counter space. It's an okay size. We just don't have a lot of counter space. And so we're always trying to maximize space savings. And so a lot of our friends, they had the, what's the brand?
It's like Boone or something like that's like the grass lawn.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got like the grass lawn. You throw all your stuff in there and it stands it up and it dries it out after you get done washing them. But it took up a lot of counter space. So we found one that was more of a space saving one that goes right up against the backsplash that sits on the counter. And it's got a little tray up top where we'll throw all the binkies, we'll throw all the little nipples and caps and stuff like that. And then it has pegs that you would stick the bottles on. And then it actually has just a little bit of a little platform cubby down below that you can toss some more stuff into. And if you're hard up for space, I would recommend that one. The grass ones are great. I wish we could have used one, but we just don't have the space. We were not willing to sacrifice that much space just to dry bottles.
Yeah. And the brand that we got is OXO. Super handy, super thing. And not only did it dry our bottles, but every day when I went back to work and I had to wash my pumps, I would hang those and let my pumps dry that way too. It just got it done quicker and you're not having to lay them on a towel on the counter space. And again, take more counter space up. So that's very handy. It's still sitting on our countertop right now, even though we're using it for sippy cups now.
Yes. Yes. That's one of those things you can still use. Just to backtrack, I don't know if we ever said the brand of Pack and Play, but it was a Graco.
It was a Graco. It was like Graco Dome DLX or something like that.
Yep. So it was a Graco one. The last one that we're going to talk about is for this episode is bottle warmers. So that was something where we didn't use it a whole lot because Jordan did a lot of breastfeeding. If you've listened to our episode on the breastfeeding, we talk a little bit about, we didn't go through a whole lot of bottles, but there was times where we wanted to do bottles so Jordan could pump and start creating a supply. And so that's probably when we used it the most. It's a Phillips one. So really how it works is you're going to take water. You'll get your bottle ready. However deep the milk is on your bottle, you're going to pour water into that bottle warmer up to level of that milk. And then it has an ounce dial on it that you will dial to. Okay. If you got 4 ounces in there, 6 ounces, whatever, you'll dial to it. And then there's an on button, you click right in the middle of it and you let it go. And basically the light is going to be on while it's warming up the bottle. And then once the light goes off, the bottle should be warm. Me not being around a bottle warmer, knowing how it was, it was a little bit, we had to do a little bit of looking to make sure that it was warm. It wasn't warm, stuff like that. And it had to keep warm on. I think it would keep warm for up to 30 minutes to an hour, maybe.
I think it was an hour max that it would keep it at that temperature.
And so the theory of operation was pretty easily, you know, dial it up, hit the button, wait. Now, it probably wasn't the fastest bottle warmer, but I think time-wise, it was good. You're gonna have oh moments, and you're just gonna have to figure that out. Where yeah, you got a crying kid, but it was simple enough for us, and it wasn't huge. We actually could fit it in our diaper bag. We took it to the grandparents when they'd watch Carly, and they would use it. It was kind of a middle of the road. It was not a top line, and it wasn't a cheap one. It was just we just needed a bottle warmer. We didn't want to go super above and beyond just because we were planning on breastfeeding.
Yeah. One thing I kind of learned with it, with that ounce dial, was I think it went by maybe ounce or ounce and a half little notches. And say I had a 3-ounce bottle, I might put it at 4 ounces because we'd wait this time for it to warm up. And then you'd test the milk to make sure it's not too hot. And it wasn't quite where Carly would probably like it. So then I'd have to stick it back in the water, turn it on again, and try again. So we did learn to just bump it up a little bit more than how many ounces of milk we had, just to get it kind of the right temperature, but out without being too hot.
Yeah, and I think that kind of took place the more she was getting. So, you know, once you're getting to that probably 4 ounce, 3, 4, 5, 6 ounce, you could probably do a notch up on those. Yeah, you are right. We did have a couple instances where it wasn't 100% warm enough of what we thought. Now, we could have left it in that warm water, and I bet it would have warmed up, but it probably would have took a little longer than just restarting it and having it go through.
And when you have a crying baby.
Yes, you are desperately trying to get milk as warm as you fast as you can when you have that little girl screaming in your ear.
The one thing that I wish that it had is a dinger for when it was ready. It was just a light. And once that light was a complete circle, it was ready, but it didn't make any noise. So we would go and plug it in, and then it might've been ready for 5 minutes and we didn't know because we hadn't got around to check on it. So I wish it had some sort of alarm that would ding when it was ready.
Yeah, that is right. It was a circle. It didn't go down. It was like a clock. It'd fill in the first quarter of the pie, then the second quarter. Yep, you are right there. I forgot about that. I thought that the light went off, but no, it was just a complete circle, and then it would just strobe slowly.
Yes.
Anyway, that's going to be it for episode number 8. Be sure to tune into episode number 9, where we'll continue this long list of the best parenting products that we could afford. Stay tuned. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Parenting in Progress. If you like what you heard, and you're listening to us on YouTube, please go ahead, like, share, subscribe, drop a comment. If you're listening to us on other platforms, go ahead, give us a follow and a rating. We truly appreciate it. Thanks again, and we'll see you in the next one.